I invite you to rise for the reading of the gospel and the singing of the gospel acclamation. Gospel according to John, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus prayed,
I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is the good news. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from the one true God who creates, redeems, and sustains us this morning and always. Amen. The language in John's gospel is complicated, tricky, even for our ears to follow and hear half the time, filled with great cosmic claims and deep poetic expression and lots of repetitive language. John's gospel can be challenging for us. Even our passage today, what is called Jesus' high priestly prayer, these last words that he speaks to his disciples before his death, these words come at the end of his farewell discourses, a last teaching of sorts, capped with this beautiful prayer. These words are important. They must be important, right? Jesus sees fit to close his living relationship with the disciples before he makes the move to the cross in Jerusalem. He chooses to end with this prayer, not off in the desert, not off in the woods, not off alone away from the disciples, but right there at the table with them. This must be important stuff for them to hear. And yet, it's a bit of a doozy, right? Last week, we talked about this repetitive language a little bit. I asked you, you know, Jesus doesn't give easy answers, especially in John's gospel. Jesus uses this interesting language, and it has a bit of a dizzying or disorienting effect sometime. Sorry, I need my water. Wrestle with. They can be a challenge from time to time, just even to understand, let alone accept or adopt into our own hearts. But there does seem to be a common theme here, even if it can be hard to hear after it goes round and round and round and round and round. Father, as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Whoa, right? These are big concepts, and they're rotated and rotated, and it gets to be slippery. So this week, as I began to prepare for my sermon, you know, I'm loath to take stuff home if I can help it, but I knew I was in for it with this one. So I brought my books with me. I brought my books with me home. Like, for example, this one, The Four Witnesses. This is a good book, but it's particularly important because of the claim it even makes in its subtitle. The Four Witnesses by Robin Griffith Jones. The Rebel, Matthew. The Rabbi, Mark. The Chronicler, Luke. And the Mystic, John. You see, the other three Gospels seek to tell a pretty linear, straightforward story of the events of Jesus' life and his teachings and some miracles. But John begins at the beginning. John reaches into the cosmos, and John becomes this mystic voice that is, at times, challenging to hear. I had this one written by one of my professors, and here's something he has to say. Visible unity occurs when Christians bear witness to the love of God by their words and by serving one another. Jesus' new commandment and his prayer for unity point to the same thing. Oneness is made visible in the common witness Christians make to Christ through their words and in the kind of service exemplified by foot washing. That's one of them. And then I brought this one too, the famous John scholar Robert Kaiser, who says, verse 21 states a number of things about the unity of the believers that Jesus seeks. One, their unity is based on and derived from the unity of the Father and Son, and hence is Christological in nature and not the result of human effort. Okay, there's one. And then I got another one here. Another one by Robert Kaiser, John the Maverick Gospel. If it is true that the relationship of the Father and Son is the model being used here, something else follows. The oneness of the believers is not a unity that abolishes their own individuality. They are one, but they are united as individuals. Okay, then we got, wait a minute. I got this one too, by my preaching professor and John scholar, Caroline Lewis. Their unity is not a made-up concept, but is based on the unity between the Father and the Son. Answering the question of what this unity looks like gives us the definition of what unity is. For this gospel, unity with God means making God known. There's that one. Wait a minute now. Sorry, I got one more. One more. This by Marion May Thompson, this book commentary on John. The unity of Father and Son is described not only as a mutual indwelling, you and me and I and you, but also in terms of love for each other. In turn, the unity of the disciples demonstrates that the Father has loved them as he has loved Jesus. The love of the Father and the Son binds the disciples together because it is self-giving, not self-seeking. It is cohesive. Okay, so we got all these books. And if your head isn't swimming yet, I mean, just by the gospel passage alone, trust me, as I sat down to look through these books and find these commentaries useful, it's a lot to take in. It can be dizzying, and yet there is a consistent theme, a consistent message. So, equipped with my stack of books, my laptop with a few other commentaries loaded and ready to go, I sat down in the morning at my house and had some grape nuts. Now, this is not a paid product placement, not yet anyway. So if you know anybody at Kella or Post, maybe, you know, hook me up. I sat down in my home with my windows open, that beautiful May spring breeze flowing through the windows, and ate my breakfast, because you can't do good work if you haven't had a good breakfast, right? And as I sat there with my bowl of grape nuts, cutting a little banana up into it, pouring the milk on, I just let the sounds pouring through my window wash over me. The sounds of that wind rustling the leaves on the trees. The sounds of the songbirds tweeting away. Even the pigeon that lives in the roof of the house next to me, cooing. I heard the kid next door playing in the backyard. He's about 2 or 3, playing in the backyard with his mom's boyfriend, making squeals and laughs and all those kinds of little kid noises. I heard the dog across the street barking, always barking. Bobo is his name. I heard the siren of a fire truck backing out just at the end of our street, heading off to help someone. And I heard the beep, 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 beep of the garbage truck as it inched its way down the alley behind our house. And then in the midst of all of that noise, I heard the carillon. Do you know what a carillon is? House of Hope Presbyterian Church in St. Paul is just a block from our house. And I can see from our attic skylight the tower that houses the carillon. And the carillon played like a piano, sort of. When you hit the keys, though, it doesn't trigger a hammer to strike the string, but it triggers a bell. And I heard the carillon player there at House of Hope playing a familiar song. I'm going to invite you to take out your hymnals, if you would. Don't bother looking at the screen. The words aren't up there. Here's another book, by the way. To hymn 656. Christy, if you would, please. I invite you to sing these words together. If you can sing harmony, go for it. But pay attention to these lyrics. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love.